This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code CAMPFIRE. That's $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code CAMPFIRE. Thanks, Casper. And Jim Harold's Campfire is also brought to you by Scott Evest. Great clothing plus tons of pockets for your stuff. Well, that's Scott Evest. For a limited time, take advantage of their 40% off sale and get the savings on select items. Go to jimharold.com/vest. That's jimharold.com/vest for the money saving link. Hurry, the sale ends Monday, September 19th. Thanks, Scott Evest.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Campfire. I am Jim Harold, your happy host. And thank you so much for tuning in. I certainly appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy the show tonight. We've got some really good stories, so I'll not wait any longer. Here it is, the Campfire. Well, Mary is on the line from Chicago, and I've got to say, I love this. I love the intergenerational sharing of the show. Actually, Mary's son, who I think just returned home from college, finished up college, told her about the show, and she's been listening for 6 months. I love that. It's even better when the new person listening has some great stories. I know Mary has a lot, and tonight she's going to tell us about one. I think the whole thing began back when she was a teenager, and we're so glad to have her on the program. Mary, welcome, and tell us what happened.
Thanks, Jim. Well, this is probably one of the most profound experiences I've had, and it actually occurred back in my family home, which is or was in Elgin, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And there was always a lot of activity there. We kind of just took it as everyday occurrences, but things kind of ramped up as I began to grow up, and this actually happened when I was 15 years old. Now, a little bit of backstory on this. Our house was built by my great-grandfather for our family, and we had a very tight family, and no one but us had ever lived in the home. So this is a point at which my brother had gotten married, and his new wife was moving in. And she also happened to be a very powerful sensitive. So she was very keyed into all sorts of paranormal activity. Now, the specific thing happened when she was just finishing moving in her belongings. Mm. We were on the second floor of the house. My bedroom, the doorway to my bedroom, faced an old-fashioned Victorian double banister staircase. And as I was sitting on my bed, I had a clear view of the top few stairs of this staircase. I heard my sister-in-law walking up the stairs and turned to look at her. And just as she got up to about almost the top step, she looked up and we both at the same time saw an apparition appear in front of her. It was a small woman with, I remember vividly, she had a white blouse on. Her hair was pulled back in a bun. She had a long, dark dress, but I couldn't see anything below, let's say, the bottom part of her hem. There were no feet or anything, but the rest of her body was fully visible, and the side of her face was visible. Mm. At the point at which my sister-in-law put her foot on the top step, this little woman pushed on my sister-in-law's kind of upper chest area and pushed her backwards. And she stumbled down the steps backwards, two steps. In fact, had those banisters not been there, I'm quite sure she would have gone backwards down the stairway.
Oh my goodness, that's frightening.
It was incredible. I was speechless and had never seen anything like that before. At that point, since she, my sister-in-law, was very experienced with things like this, she was stunned but had enough presence of mind to look at me. And she said, don't say anything. We're all artists. And she said, don't say anything. Just draw what you saw. She then went into her room and drew what she saw. We came out and we had drawn the same image, which was really kind of freaked me out.
Oh, my.
It was mind-blowing. The thing that got me the most, Jim, is that I saw impressions in her chest of this woman's hands. I saw her hands make, you know, like a, not a dent, but you know what I mean? Just an impression in her chest as she was being pushed backwards. And that was mind-blowing to me. Absolutely mind-blowing.
Yes, and that is mind-blowing. But then there's a little dénouement to it. There's a little curveball here at the end of the story. Tell us what happened a while later.
Well, interestingly enough, I hope this is the curveball you're talking about. We researched, looked through family records, family photos, tried to figure out who in the world would be so focused on keeping my sister-in-law out of the house.
Right.
And because it was pretty obvious she didn't want her to move in. And about 5 years ago, my brother passed, and the whole estate passed on to me as the last person besides my children in this branch of the family. And in my research, trying to put names to faces, I discovered that it, in fact, was my Aunt Nettie, who I believe now I spent many days terrified hearing her walking back and forth across the attic, which held all of her belongings. I didn't know it then, but so we actually figured out that it was Aunt Nettie trying to keep Constance out. I'm not sure if that's what you're referring to, because there may be more.
Didn't you find something when you were cleaning out the house?
Oh, a photo of her?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And that kind of leads on to present day. A friend of mine, we found a photo of her. And I, in fact, used to play in Nettie's clothing when I was a child. She was a small, small, fiery redhead. She was 4'11", and no one messed with her. She was definitely a force to be reckoned with in life and after she passed. And so an interesting thing occurred at my present home, where I have a lot of Nettie's things. I had a friend who's very sensitive come in the house. And she heard footsteps in my house walking across the top floor of my house, which I didn't hear. I guess maybe I'm used to it. However, she walked up the stairs of my house, and there were several photos and paintings of individuals in the family kind of here and there in the storage room where everything is. And she walked right over, saw Nettie's photo, and said, that's it. That's her. That's who's walking back and forth across the floor. And then she left.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Unnerved, but yeah. I think the most impacted thing about that whole situation, though, was seeing Nettie's hands make an impression in my sister-in-law's kind of shoulder area, and seeing her forcibly get pushed back by her shoulders.
Oh, that is right.
It was crazy.
It's one thing, and I've said this on other shows with similar stories. It's one thing when you see an apparition. I mean, that can be chilling, that can be frightening, whatever. But when it starts to lay hands on you and possibly mean you physical harm, that's a whole new level.
It really was. You know, I instinctively realized that it was a family member trying to keep a non-family member from moving into the house. And that I think I just picked up on intuitively. But yeah, it was eye-opening for me. Eye-opening.
I could see why. Well, Mary, I know you have a lot more stories. I hope you'll come back. Thank your son for us, and welcome to the campfire.
Thank you very much. I love the show, and thank you for this opportunity.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper. Casper's an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost, and they are revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms. And they pass that savings directly to you, the consumer. Now, I love Casper because they've taken the bad old days of having to go into a showroom and having to lie in public on a bed and make a snap decision about something that you're going to spend a third of your life on? Didn't seem like it made sense, but it's, hey, growing up, that's the way it always was. But like so many things today, it's changing, and this one much more for the better. And not only have they changed the sales model, and I'm going to tell you more about that, but they've also changed the technology. Casper's mattress is an obsessively engineered mattress at a very fair price. They combine two technologies, springy latex foam and supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Now, the breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. And I have my Casper mattress and I love it. Now, I told you about that new sales model I have. Well, convenient online shopping. You don't have to go anywhere. And they offer free delivery, shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada. And they offer painless returns within a 100-day period. 100 days, that's more than 3 months. And I know you can make a decision then, and an informed decision, unlike the bad old way of lying down in a showroom. The Casper mattresses are made in the USA. And because you are so smart and you listen to the Campfire, you can get an even better deal. You know, Casper has a great, great price point anyway, very, very competitive with what you pay with the standard retailers, with the old way of business. But you get a great price, and now you can save an additional $50 towards a mattress purchase by going to casper.com/campfire and entering the promo code campfire. Again, casper.com/campfire, enter that promo code campfire, and I think you will love it. In fact, I think I know you will love it. Check it out. Casper, terms and conditions apply. Thanks, Casper. Stephanie joins us tonight from Western Pennsylvania. She's been listening for about a year, and she's going to tell us about a college story that actually was kind of a series of events, and I can't wait to hear it. Stephanie, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening, and tell us what happened.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Great to be here. The stories I'm going to tell happened when I was going to Westchester University, and it revolved around a little shop called the Kindred Spirit Jewelry Store. The first story happened around my birthday in the spring semester, and my friends took me out to go shopping. And the store has lots of different gifts, and my eye kind of caught hold of this little angel pendant, and I'm a collector of angels, so I thought it was a really nice gift, and I just really wanted it. But my friend who was shopping with me kind of suggested that I look around and is this really what you want kind of thing. So I kept looking around, and then I said, yes, that's the gift for me. So he ended up buying it for me, and I started wearing it for a week straight, pretty much. During that time, I really didn't feel like myself. I started to get a cold, and I have a little bit of one now, so sorry if my voice is a little gravelly, but my friend came up to me towards the end of the week, and I started to feel really bad, and say, you know, I had this weird feeling when you wanted to buy that necklace that I just didn't think it was a good idea. Mm. So he really recommended that I take it off and see if it made a difference. And at the time, I just thought, you know, why would that make a difference? It's an angel. What could be bad about an angel? I love these things. But I took it off. And as soon as I did, I started to feel better. Like the heaviness in my chest felt a bit better. And, well, I put it on my dresser, and I just thought, you know, probably a coincidence. I like the necklace still, so I thought I'd try it a few days later. So I did. And when I put it on, I did feel a little bit heavier, and just it felt odd, to the point where I just took the necklace and I said a little blessing over it to anybody who'd been involved with either the making of or selling or myself, that we all be healthy and happy. And I threw the charm away because if there was any connection, I didn't want to pass that on.
Right.
So that's the first story of the shop. The next semester I went, it was the fall, I was on a walk, and I just went in the store and found a book that I liked. And I purchased it. It was going out of the store, and I reached the bottom of the three stairs. And the shop is in a row house, old row houses. And So you went down the three stairs, and there's the sidewalk. And I was looking at the book cover because I was so excited to look at it. And then I looked to the left. I felt like I really needed to look that way. And I noticed there was a bicyclist just barreling down the sidewalk, which I wasn't expecting. And he was looking down. I don't know if there's a problem with his pedal, excuse me, or something like that. But I just knew there was no way I could get out of the way with the stairs behind me. And just kind of in that moment where I was waiting for this collision to happen, I felt kind of pushed back. My feet were right against the bottom of the stairs. There's no way I could move. I just felt frozen there. And I'm looking to the left, and the bicyclist starting to look up and realize I'm there. And it just seems like almost an invisible hand just takes a hold of the bike and starts to slow it down because he was looking down. It didn't sound like the brakes were going off. It just wasn't normal. It's hard to explain, but it just kind of slowed down and started to glide past, and our eyes locked in this kind of moment of what's happening. And as soon as the bike passed the stairs, I was released out of whatever hold I was in from a force, or I really don't know, but I was off balance, pushed back in this limbo position, and I caught the rail and somehow managed to not fall down, and we didn't get into an accident, which is really good. The store is on High Street. It's not a super busy highway, but it's a main thoroughfare, so if I would have run into him, I don't know if he would have fallen the street, or at the very least, we would have gotten hurt. So somehow that was avoided. So that's story number two. Story number three is the strangest. I was just out a few weeks later, I think, after the bike incident, and I liked the book, so I went back on the store just to look around, and I kind of was there for a while. I didn't really find anything I liked and decided it was time to go because the sun was going down in the fall and I needed to walk back to campus. So I went down the three stairs again, looking for the bicyclist, make sure nothing's there. And I turn and it seemed like something passed me very quickly, like a shadow out of the corner of my eye. And from that, I didn't really register it at first, and then I stopped and thought to myself, like, did I really see that? What was that? And so I looked behind me, and I didn't see anyone on the sidewalk. I looked in front of me just to see if they doubled back or something. I didn't see anybody. And I looked across the street, and no one was there. It was just me and the street lamp outside. And so I really was curious to know what happened, and I had this strange feeling like, what if something's wrong? Excuse me. And I just really wanted to see what happened. The only other place that someone could have gone is a little passageway between two the row houses, and it kind of leads back to like an alley space. So I peeked around there, and there's light still going in part of that space. So I kind of crept in and said, hello, is anyone there? Do you need help? And I started to get to where the light was no longer there. And there's the shadow. I stepped into the shadow, and I thought I saw something at the end of the street. And I just kind of determined, okay, that's a cat. And it finally occurs to me I'm in the dark in an alley, and I need to get out of there. So I turn around to walk out. But right about the time I'm getting towards the light, I felt this force just thrust me against the wall. I'm pinned there. Nothing. I can't see anything, but I can't move. My face is pressed against the brick. I remember how cold it was. And then in that position, I was just shocked to be in. I start feeling a presence on my feet and move up to my ankles, up to my knees, all the way up to my front. It starts getting towards my head. And I'm finally like, I need to get out of here. This isn't safe. I need to go now. And as soon as that thought completed, somehow I shook myself out, walked a few steps into the light, turned around, and just stared down the alley because I'm still in shock. Like, what just happened? Like, I don't know what just happened.
Right.
And then I'm the next thought was, why am I still standing here? I need to get out of here. So I started walking very fast and then running, and I got to my room and closed the door, locked it, and said, I'm never, ever going back there again. So those are my three stories about the little shop in Westchester.
Yeah, I can tell you, that's some shop.
Yes. Yeah, and I found out later, just looking at the story, that on High Street and Gay Street, this is right, further up the street, that in 1777, there was a schoolhouse there that was used as a Revolutionary War hospital for the Battle of the Brandywine. And I didn't know that going to school there, and it wasn't right at that spot, but I just thought that was interesting, just to give kind of an idea of the history of the town.
And it's kind of funny, because we just had another call where a listener had actually seen somebody forcibly touched and kind of violently touched, pushed downstairs by some kind of weird entity. Just coincidentally, we didn't plan these calls back to back, but they will be back to back on the show. So, I mean, to me, and I said this in the earlier call, it's one thing to see an apparition floating around or have something weird happen. That's one thing. Even the necklace, that's kind of wild, but you know, you could explain that away or whatever.
Right.
When you start getting physically touched and pushed and things, I mean, that takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it really does. Yeah. It's amazing. I really am not sure what happened. I just know it did happen.
It's frightening. It's frightening. It's obviously not, it sounds like you're out there looking for answers and listening to podcasts, I'm sure reading and so forth. So it's not really turned you off to the subject.
No, if anything, listening to the podcast, your podcast has helped me feel more sane and like it's possible. Because as fantastic as the situation was, it can kind of, you can explain it away or forget about it. But after listening to different calls and thinking, you know, maybe this really was really real. It really happened, because it's real to me.
There you go. Well, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire.
Thank you, Jim.
Wow. Now, I love to hear international callers, particularly when they're from Norway. And we've got Lisa on the line, and she is going to tell us about her experience in her teenage years, some of her experiences, and looking forward to it. And she found us on Spotify, been listening a couple of months. Welcome to the program. Please tell us what happened.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Well, actually, it started when I was about 11 or 12, I think. And I was, it was late at night. It was the time where I had to be early in bed.
Sure.
And I snuck up after my parents had gone to bed, and I sat on my computer. It was about 3 o'clock at night, 3 a.m. And I decided to put it away and go to sleep.
Right.
And I lay down and I turned off the light, and I heard three knocks on the door.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, my parents heard me.
Oh,
crap.
My.
My parents know I'm up. That's bad. So I just lay there pretending to sleep. And I didn't hear any footsteps. So I was like, oh, okay. Maybe it was just like the door slamming or something.
Right.
It took about 2 minutes and I heard it again. And I was like, oh, it's my brother. It's my brother. It's totally my brother. I was like, stop knocking on my door. It's not funny. It's not funny. Go to bed. And so I just went back to sleep, and I heard it a third time, about the same time between the knocks. And I heard it a third time, and I was like, okay, I haven't heard any footsteps, I haven't heard anything, I just hear the knocks, three knocks, three times. So I was like, okay, just turning on the lights, just gonna sit here for a while, totally lit up. And I hardly slept anything that night. I was so scared. And I didn't want to leave my room either, because I didn't want, you know, if something was out there, it probably wasn't anything, but yeah.
Right.
Anyway, and then I heard nothing more. Then I was like 17, I think. and I had some friends over from school, and we were sitting in the cellar, in the room in the cellar, and we were just talking, and suddenly there were three knocks on the door. And I didn't think anyone else noticed, so I was like, oh, it's probably just the door slamming. And the next time, it was about 2 minutes, and then we heard knocks again. And a friend of mine was like, does it keep knocking on the door? Is it like your father or something? And I was like, no, we're, I think we're home alone. I looked out the window through the cellar, and there was no car in the driveway, so there was no one there. And then we're like, okay, probably just the door slamming. And then we heard it a third time, three knocks. And we're like, okay, so we'll just leave. We won't be here right now. And I was like, and I didn't think anything about it. But then I remembered the time from when I was really young. And I was right. Like, oh, it's exactly the same. And just about 2 weeks later, I was vacuuming in the living room. And I just finished vacuuming, so I took off my headset, and I heard knocks. And I was like, I thought it was from the terrace, the door. So I looked outside, and there was no one there. So I was like, okay, that's weird. I thought I heard something. And this time I remembered the knocking. And I heard it again, but then this time it sounded like it came from the other side of the house.
Oh.
So I walked and to the door that I heard the knocking from, and I heard again three knocks. And that time I took the door, I heard the door the knocking was coming from. I took the door and I opened it, and there was no one there. And oh, I know for a fact it's from that door. I'm 100% sure I heard it from that door.
Now, do you have any theories as to who or what this is?
I have no idea whatsoever. I don't know. It's nothing else has ever happened in the house. And I don't know. And it's, had it been just the one time with, like, it's one time each time I think I hear knocking, then it's like, oh, it could be the house, or it could be slamming because of the windows or something. But it's three times, and it's like bang, bang, bang. So clear. And so it's in a rhythm. So I don't, yeah, it's really weird.
Well, obviously, it is, if anything, increased your interest in this kind of material, this kind of question about ghosts and spooky type things, I'm guessing, since you listen to this show.
Absolutely. And I always love having, you know, when we sit around an actual campfire or something.
Yes.
I finally have a story, and it's not like I've been trying to find something. But it's fun to actually have something, because when I heard it before, I was always like, oh, it's just, no. It's just people trying to get attention. It's not, they just want to have something happen to them. But, yeah.
I mean, my feeling on that is that, yes, there probably are people like that. I mean, but I, in terms of the callers to our program, have felt over, we've been doing this since, 2009, which is quite a while now. And I think Absolutely. The vast majority of people are sincere, and they believe that they've seen what they've seen. Now, does that mean that they've seen a ghost or a Bigfoot or an alien or whatever it might be? Maybe not. Maybe they're misinterpreting it. Maybe in some cases they are seeing it. I do believe that these things do exist. But I know what you're saying, and you kind of think, well, because even after all these years, I find myself sometimes being a little skeptical. But then I remember the things that have happened to me and in my loved ones that just can't be explained away by just any kind of rational thought. You know, there's just so many stories out there, and I'm constantly amazed by the variety that we get. Mm-hmm. And people from all over the world are listening and contributing, just like you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire.
No, just that it was, it came out wrong, the last thing I said. I didn't mean I believed it, and that was before the first knocking happened. So it was when I was, 9. Yeah, what I meant was that it was when I was really young, I didn't believe in any of it, because I had parents who absolutely don't believe, and I come from a family that, where they've always been saying that, oh, every kind of supernatural thing is just rubbish. It's not real. Nothing like it that exists. And I meant that and it actually made me believe, and it made me think. For myself, not just having my parents tell me, no, that's not true. It doesn't happen.
All right.
So
and
it's opened a new world back.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. Please tell your friends over there who enjoy this kind of material, and hopefully they'll tune in as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Scott Evest. Great clothing plus tons of pockets for your stuff. Well, that's Scott Evest. For a limited time, take advantage of their 40% off sale and get the savings on select items. Go over to jimharold.com/vest for the money-saving link, but hurry because the sale ends Monday, September 19th. And I do love Scott Evest. And actually, one of the things that I look forward to in the fall are starting to wear my Scott Evest, the vest itself, the Quest vest. And then there are the jackets and so forth. I mean, they have summertime stuff, don't get me wrong. But I particularly enjoy my Scott Quest vest. Scott Evest Quest vest, excuse me. And Scott Evest, they've been so great to work with. Recently, they actually put me on a Twitter list of their influencers, which was a complete surprise. It was an honor. And there are all these celebrities from Hollywood that are picking up on Scott Evest. And of course, everybody's geek hero, Steve Wozniak, the co-creator of Apple, is a big Scott Evest fan. And hey, if it's good for Steve Wozniak, it's good enough for me. And I know it's going to be good enough for you, because basically the premise is this. We have a lot of stuff these days. You know, the newest phones have just come out, and then tablets and computers and keys and glasses. And where do I put my stuff? Well, Scott Evest is really a company. I love the fact that it's a company that solves a problem that almost everybody has. But you got to check it out. Now, this is a great time to check it out, because they're having a great sale on select items, some of the best stuff that they have, and you can take advantage of it. All you have to do is go over to my site at jimharold.com/vest. What I've done there is put the link to the sale. Click on that link, and voila, you'll be presented with the site, and you can get that 40% off. But the catch is this. You better hurry. The sale ends Monday, September 19th, so you don't want to wait. I guess they're calling it last sale. I would pick up on it, because it sounds like they don't do a lot of these or plan a lot more. So get in now. Get in. They say get in on the ground floor. Actually, I think this is the ground floor for Scott Evest. I think it's going to be massive. Even my daughter now has a Scott Evest jacket. And, you know, she's a high schooler, so they're always worried about, well, what will people think about it and what will it look like? And actually, she's gotten comments. People love it. So they're so cool. Really, this is something that I use. I enjoy it. I think you'll enjoy it too. JimHarold.com/vest to get that 40% off on select items. But you better hurry. Sale ends Monday, September 19th. Thanks, Scott Evest. Well, next up on the line, we have a fellow podcaster. Laura from Utah joins us.
Hi.
And hello. And she has been listening for several months. A friend of hers told her about the show, and she started listening and she likes it. But in the process of podcasting, she had something paranormal happen. She's going to tell us about, and some other strange happenings around the same time. Laura, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Thank you so much. I have been so excited to talk to you. Well, when I first submitted my story, it was about a little girl that we actually caught while we were recording our podcast, a little EVP voice. And at the time that this happened, it just happened to coincide with a ghost hunt that we'd been on at a certain restaurant here in Utah. And I wasn't sure, though. It was just kind of coincidental timing. But I recently went back to, actually last weekend, I went back to that restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we had another incident happen after we got home. And so I do have the story I submitted that I want to tell you. But now I have another one that goes along with it that
needs
to tie back to this restaurant that apparently hates me. And I have decided I'm never going back there again.
So tell us how it all started.
How it all started is my best friend Shayla turned 30 this year, and we decided to do a big extravagant birthday party for her, and we go ghost hunting all the time. And so her amazing husband set up a guided ghost hunt at this restaurant called the Family Tree Restaurant down in Santa Clara, Utah, and it was a big surprise party. So we actually ghost hunted for her birthday party.
Right.
I'm guessing that a lot of your listeners have probably actually heard of this place. It's been on Ghost Adventures and I believe a couple of other paranormal shows because it is an extremely hot spot for ghost hunting. And I won't get into all the ghosts that are there. There's a very famous demonic entity there named Lucy who took a liking to me that night, and it was some really scary things happened. But one of the little entities that is there is a little girl ghost named Kimber. And I'm not sure if the ghost that decided to come home with me was her, or if it was another little girl ghost from that place, or it could have been something a little bit darker than that. I'm just really not sure. But so what happened with this little girl, there was kind of a series that happened. I came home one day from picking up my kids at a play date, and my daughter has an alarm clock that is Cinderella, and it sings songs from Cinderella on it.
Right.
And I didn't even think it worked anymore. And it was blaring in her room. I didn't even know it could go that loud, but the songs were totally blaring. And I thought, that's really strange. So I went in and the time was off. And I asked my daughter, I asked my other kids, did you mess with this? And they said, no, we'd never touched that. So I thought, okay, not a big deal. Then the next day I was home by myself cleaning and it went off by itself again.
Oh, boy.
The alarm wasn't set. Nothing on it was set. And I thought, okay, maybe something's messing with it because I've always been a very sensitive person to spirits and things like that. And so I thought maybe it's just something moving through. So I wasn't totally freaked out because I'm kind of used to doors closing in my house and things like that. And then the next day after that, everything just seemed to happen in consecutive days. I was down in my basement cleaning my son's bathroom and I had my back to the door. And I heard a little girl playing behind me, and it sounded like she was just in the doorway. It was very, very loud, very clear. And so I, of course, assumed it was my daughter. She's 7 years old. And I turned around, and nobody was there. But, you know, my kids are sneaky and try to play tricks on me, so I just thought, oh, whatever, she's just being funny. And so I went back to cleaning the bathroom, and I heard it again, but this time I was facing the door, and nobody was there. And so I kind of started to get suspicious because it actually didn't sound like my daughter. And so I went and looked around the basement. Nobody was there. I came upstairs. Nobody was upstairs. And I found my kids in the garage all playing. And I said, was anybody just in the basement? And all three of them said, no, we've been playing in the garage for a long time now. And our garage is nowhere near where I was in my basement. So there's no way that it could have been my kids. But the kicker was that with a podcast that I run with my friends, the last Wednesday of every month when our show airs, we do a paranormal podcast. Just because, again, we go ghosting all the time and people are always asking to hear our ghost stories. So we thought, why not? We'll just put them out there for everybody to hear. And on our podcast, at about 44 minutes in, you hear a little girl say, boo.
Oh, my.
And yeah, and the crazy thing is I edit our podcast. And I don't know how I didn't hear it because I probably listened to them 2, 3, sometimes 4 times before I air them. And I don't know how I hit it. I don't know how I missed it. I must have just been in the zone of, you know, listening for ums and lip smacks and things like that. But actually with a listener that called us and said, did you have a little girl in that room with you? And we were
That's great.
No, why? And I was actually out of town and Shayla called me and said, Laura, call me. And so I called her and she's like, go to the podcast, listen in. It's at 43 minutes and 44 seconds. Just listen to it. And I said, okay. So I hung up with her. I listened to the podcast and I was sitting in my truck and I didn't mean to, but I threw my phone across the truck because it is so clear. And so I can, just because with the alarm clock and with hearing the little girl and this happening, I don't know who it was, but there was a little girl that decided to follow me home that night from this restaurant. And again, I don't know if it's a little girl, Kimber. We did have a medium listen to it, and he said it did not sound demonic, which is the good news, because there is a demonic entity that simulates a little girl at that restaurant. But yeah, it's just one of those bona fide experiences where you're like, hey, guys, it's caught here on our podcast. We actually played a lot of other EVPs on the podcast, and it's not one that we inserted. It sounds like she's speaking right into the microphone while we are talking. So, yeah.
Well, that, I
don't
mean,
know if you've ever,
I've never had that happen. I've had people say, oh, did you hear things, and maybe speculate, but nothing that clear. And sometimes I have people say, oh, there's something paranormal in your recording. And you know, as an editor, sometimes with noise reduction and different sounds, that it's just something that's very explicable. It's just some kind of audio blip, and people jump to the conclusion that it's a ghost. But in this case, this was a little girl saying boo. I mean, that's a little different.
Yeah, it is as clear as day, and every time I listen to it, I just kind of, you know, it just makes it very real. Really, really real. So people are welcome to go listen to that podcast, and they'll hear it. You're exactly what I'm talking about. But so my other, and I'll say it really quick, because I know that I'm kind of long-winded as podcasters, and now we're good at
that's
talking.
Right. We never stop, but go ahead. Tell us the other one.
Yes. So the reason why I think that okay, maybe she really did come to this restaurant is, again, we went there last Saturday, and while we were there, I went in and sat down. I'm very easy to recognize because I have bright blue hair. It's kind of part of my character for the podcast. It's kind of a PR type thing, you know. And when we went into the restaurant, I immediately got that, you know, something's watching me, something's behind me. And I even kind of got that feeling of, oh, they probably recognize me because I, again, not hard to spot. I'm a 35-year-old woman with long blue hair. And I was there with Shaylin and a couple other friends, and even she said, oh, I bet that they recognize you. And I made a couple comments during dinner. And I was like, oh, something's behind me, and it's kind of annoying me. And, you know, before we left, we did the whole, for people who go on ghost hunts, you know, it's smart to say out loud, you're not allowed to come home with me. You need to stay here. Which we did, even though it was just a dinner and not a ghost hunt. And we did do that before on the last podcast, on the last ghost hunt too. But evidently ghosts don't care. They just come home with me anyway. And, that night we got home late, and I was going to go take the babysitter home. And my 7-year-old, I have a sub twins, a boy and a girl, 7-year-old twins. So my 7-year-old son wanted to come with me to take the babysitter home. And so we took the drive home, and I'm good friends with the babysitter's mom. So I wanted to stay in the car, so I turned it off and locked it and went inside and was saying hi to Liz.
Right.
And a couple seconds later, my son came running in and was hysterically sobbing.
Oh, my.
And just saying, Mom, car, Mom, lights, Mom, just Mom, come, car. And it's not like him. He's a very level-headed kid. The kind of kid where when he gets in trouble, he laughs, like kind of one of those sneaker pots. And so when he does something like that, I know that something's wrong. So I ran up to the car thinking, oh my gosh, my car is blowing up or something like that. And I went to go open the front door, and he grabbed my hand and said, no, Mom, there's a ghost in there. She wants to kill me. And I just, what?
Wow.
Excuse me? What do you say to that with your 7-year-old child? And he says, she's sitting in the front seat, Mom, and she wants to kill me. So I closed the door and as calmly as I could said, okay, elaborate. And he said, it's your mom. And she turned around and she looked at me, and I could tell by her smile that she wanted to kill me. She used the word kill. I could tell she wanted to kill me. And I'm going to have to back up a little bit because my mom did pass away a couple years ago, and she frequents my house quite a bit. I've seen her. My kids have seen her. She was just a very sweet individual. And just to compare this story to another story, my daughter actually saw her about a month ago, and she said, Mom, I saw Grandma, and she smiled at me, and it made me so happy. And because my poor kids are sensitive like me, they're speaking. And so that's who my mom was. When we were driving home from the restaurant, we actually talked about my mom quite a bit with because we went, you know, with all my friends in our car. And so I think that whatever this was, you know, listened in, took that, and then took on, you know, demonic entities take on the forms of other people. And I think that this demonic entity of whatever it was really pushed right past that barrier of not okay and decided to look like my mom and scare my child. And I asked Ty, you know, what was off about this ghost? And I was very truthful in saying, that was not Grandma. It would have been a bad spirit. They make themselves look like it, but there's always something off about it. So tell me what was wrong. Was she missing an arm or her eyes? Or he She said, no, Mom, it was her mouth. Her mouth was all wrong. And I knew that she wanted to hurt me. And so we had to do a cleansing. I'm actually having a professional ghost investigating society come and cleanse my car in my house later this week. But yeah, I've just decided this one restaurant just hates me.
Wow. Now,
yeah, I'm not going back anymore.
Well, maybe some good will come out of it here, though, because you have a podcast and we have a few listeners out there. Just briefly tell us a little bit about the podcast and where we can find it. So, well, that's pretty frightening, but hopefully something good will come out of this. You know, we've got a few listeners to the podcast. You're a podcaster. So tell us a little bit briefly about your show and where people can find it.
Yeah, I'd love to. So we are on the Podbash Network. You can find us on podbash.com, along with a bunch of our other family shows. Our show is called Life on the Rocks, Please. And it's myself and my best friends. We get around and we celebrate how clueless we are at navigating adulthood is really what it comes down to.
Hey, I'll tell you, it doesn't get any better.
We just tell funny stories, and it's just one of those podcasts that's just meant to make you laugh and brighten your day. So our shows are very lighthearted. And then, of course, it is kind of a weird combination, but we do throw in a paranormal show at the last Wednesday of every month. And you can also find us on iTunes, any other podcasting network or app or anywhere. So yeah, we're easy to find. But
that is fantastic.
So yeah, this will be talked about on our next paranormal episode.
Well, there you go. Well, there you go.
Experiences of the past couple weeks. So,
well, yeah. Let us know if anything else happens, and best of luck with your podcast. He's now a return caller, a Plus Club member. He is super involved, and we're so glad. Dylan from Ontario has joined us again. He's going to tell us a story that relates to this idea of reincarnation and past lives, a subject which has interested me for a long time. I'm kind of on the fence, but with stories like this, maybe I'm going to jump over on the reincarnation side of it. Dylan, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
Hi, thanks, Jim. It's good to be back on again. Yeah, I was listening to a podcast. I think it was the Nighttime Sleeptime Specter, I believe.
Yes.
And you had a guy on there, and he was talking about reincarnation. It totally brought up a story I had from back in the day. Mm-hmm. Well, to start it off, when I was younger, I used to have this dream all the time that I was in the war, right? Okay. And it was like an old-time German war. I pictured I'm on a hill, like a very grassy hill. There's a wooden fence at the bottom, and there's like a village down at the bottom of this hill. And I'm in a battle. I know I'm like really scared. I got my gun in my hand.
Right.
And as I'm coming down the hill, like I end up getting shot.
Oh my.
And then as my dream goes on, I make my way down the hill and I end up waking up, like right when I'm about to pass out pretty much. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this dream occurred over and over and over again for a couple of years. And to make it even weirder, in my dream, I got shot in the leg. And in real life, I have a birthmark on the side of my leg, which is like the size of a bullet hole. So immediately I thought, like, okay, maybe it's my mind playing tricks on me, right? Like I see the hole, I'm thinking like, oh yeah, whatever. Like that's why I'm having these dreams. So fast forward many years, it'd probably be about 5 years ago now.
Right.
One of my best friends from town, he moved out west, which had been in Alberta, Canada. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of like me, he's interested in the paranormal stuff. So he was telling me he was going to go see a psychic. He was going to go talk to a psychic or whatever. So he mentioned that. And then so he went and did this whole psychic thing with her. And when he got done, he ended up calling me. He's like, you got to hear this story. So he calls me and he's like, Dylan, he's like, during this, like we went through stuff, like she covered things in his life and all that. And then she started bringing up past lives. And she said, your past life, you were in the war.
Huh.
And she said, one of your best friends from your hometown, you and him were, like, he was also in the war with you. And you were a military general along with him. And then this lady had no idea about my dream. Like, he didn't mention anything about this. And she's like, he died by being shot and died during the battle.
Huh.
So right then, I couldn't wrap my head around that one. Really weird.
Wow. That's one of the things that to me is amazing when you have people who have these feelings or they have these memories and then there's some kind of validation to it. That makes it really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely really interesting. Another weird thing I noticed too, a friend of mine, like, I live in Canada, there's not that many like guns around here,
right,
unless you're a hunter and stuff like that. And he ended up getting a rifle, like an old World War One rifle or World War Two, I believe.
Right.
And I never shot one before. This is probably a couple of months ago. So I get this rifle. We're lining up. I'm like kind of eyeing down the sight. First time ever shooting a gun. We got these bottles out in the field, and I immediately had like a way better shot than him and everyone else over there. And they've been hunting for years.
You know,
it's kind of something to add on to that. You know what I mean?
Like, it is because it's amazing to me. And I always wonder about this. When you get a child at a very young age who's 3 or 4 and you sit them down at the piano and all of a sudden they're a prodigy and they can play circles around somebody who's, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30 years old within a few months, and they just seem to have some gift. Now, I'm not saying that it has to be reincarnation, but it does make me wonder, you know, maybe this is a reincarnation of a Mozart or something. I always think that's fascinating when you see somebody who almost immediately has an unnatural talent for something, whether it's shooting,
yes,
playing
the
piano, or playing hockey. And see, I threw that in. You're from Canada. I wanted to make sure I stayed.
Yeah, got to add that in.
Correct with sports. Well, Dylan, thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it. I know you've got other stories, so we look forward to hearing from you again on The Campfire.
Yeah, you definitely will. Thanks a lot.
Hey, everybody. A quick note before we go to our next great story. My True Ghost Story adult coloring book is out. I think most of you know about that by now. It is illustrated by a great artist, Len Peralta, who's done work for some of the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys, and I did concept art for the Ghostbusters movie, and he did a great job on this book. Two things. We've updated the cover. It has a beautiful new cover now. We want something a little more vibrant and indicative of what was inside, and I think we've done that. And we dropped the price to a mere $7.88 on Amazon. Such a deal, and a great gift for Halloween. So go check it out. It's at Amazon.com and at JimHaroldBooks.com. Thanks, and now back to the great stories. Next up on the line is Corinne from Pennsylvania. Her daughter told her about the show, and she's been listening for a couple of months, so we're ever so grateful. And sometimes you think about structures, buildings, places, maybe having a soul, and I think her story hints at that. Corinne, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Thank you, Jim. So 20 years ago, my first husband and our family decided to move from Germany to northern Maine. We found an old farmhouse, about 100 years old, and decided to buy it and renovate it. And as we waited for the closing to happen, we lived in a camper, all five of us, three children, my husband, I, and two Yorkies that I also had brought with us. I had taken pictures of the house to get a feel for it and to make renovation decisions, so we were ready once we owned the house. Winter was coming, so time was of essence. I always wanted to have a white house with blue trim mm-hmm. and blue shutters. That was just how I envisioned it. Every night when my family was sleeping, I would lay in this camper bed and look at the pictures. At the time, it was printed out pictures. This was before people had cell phones and tablets and whatnot. I would like look at the pictures and try to get a feel for the house and to make decisions for my contractor. And, you know, he had dropped off quite a few samples of different blues because he knew that's what I wanted. But every time I looked at the pictures and at the blue samples, it kept putting red into my mind. It was just red. So when the decision time came and my contractor came and said, okay, so which, you know, what did you choose? He was very surprised when I told him to go with red trim mm-hmm. and red shutters, the barnyard red. He knew I wanted blue, so I had to tell him, well, I wanted blue, but the house wants red. So that's what we did. And when we were all done, by now it was winter time, this car pulled into our driveway, and a very old lady, I don't know who she is, I never met her before, never saw her again afterwards, she got out of the car, and I went outside to see what, you know, what she wants, and she says, "This is exactly how I remember the house when I was just a little kid."
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, the house spoke to me, and I listened. And that's my story.
So it appears that the house wanted red.
Yes, it did. It wanted to look how it looked like 100 years ago, basically. That's how it wanted to look like.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's a beautiful old farmhouse, and it's shining in its white glory with the red trim.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That's my story.
We really appreciate you coming on the show and telling your story, and thank your daughter for us, and thank you for being a part of the campfire today.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed this edition of The Campfire as much as I did, and I hope that you will tell a friend and subscribe them, with their permission, of course, to The Campfire and the Paranormal Podcast, my other free show for that matter. And I hope that you'll tune in next week. We appreciate you being here because you make our electronic campfire possible. If you have a campfire story you'd like to share, just go over to jimherold.com/campfire. We thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.